By all the different demigods.
By all the different demigods.
Upetaha. Joined. Mahendra. Mahendra, the king of heaven, Indra. Guru,
his spiritual master.
Anvayat. Followed. Sura. Of the demigods. Asura. And of the demons. Vinashaha. Causing destruction. Abut. There was. Samaraha. A fight. Taraka Mayaha. Simply because of Tara, a woman. The wife of Brihaspati. Translation. King Indra, accompanied by all kinds of demigods, joined the side of Brihaspati. Thus there was a great fight, destroying both demons and demigods, only for the sake of Tara, Brihaspati's wife. So you can repeat. King Indra, accompanied by all kinds of demigods, joined the side of Brihaspati. Thus there was a great fight, destroying both demons and demigods, only for the sake of Tara, Brihaspati's wife. So no purport to this text. Read the next text, and the text after that has a purport. So, text 8. Nivedito tangirasa somam nirvarcha vishvakrit taram swabhartre prayapchad antarvanvatnim vaitpatahi. When Lord Brahma was fully informed by Angira about the entire incident, he severely chastised the moon god Soma. Thus, Lord Brahma delivered Tara to her husband, who could then understand that she was pregnant. Text 9. Jajatyajashu duspradye machitrat ahitamparahai. Naham tvam basmasat kuryam striyam santani kesati. Brihaspati said, "You foolish woman! Your womb, which was meant for me to impregnate, has been impregnated by someone other than me. Immediately deliver your child. Immediately deliver it. Be assured that after the child is delivered, I shall not burn you to ashes. I know that although you are unchaste, you wanted a son. Therefore, I shall not punish you." So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tara was married to Brihaspati, and therefore, as a chaste woman, she should have been impregnated by him. But instead, she preferred to be impregnated by some of the moon god, and therefore she was unchaste. Although Brihaspati accepted Tara from Brahma, when he saw that she was pregnant, he wanted her to deliver a son immediately. Tara certainly very much feared her husband, and she thought she might be punished after giving birth. Thus Brihaspati assured her that he would not punish her, for although she was unchaste and had become pregnant illicitly, she wanted a son. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chatsur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, this is an interesting discussion about chastity. And it's also an interesting discussion about justice. What do we mean by justice? That, you know, she did something that was really bad. And basically, in certain countries, of course not in India, but in certain countries they actually stone a woman for something like this. Actually, in certain countries they even stone ladies if they have a boyfriend and they're not married, they're seen. In certain countries they actually arrest ladies if they don't cover their heads. That's ironic, of course. They have these morality police. I don't know if any of you have heard about this before. But they have these morality police that go around, and if some lady is not covering her head or doing this or doing that, then they beat the lady. There's actually videos of this on YouTube. So anyway, so of course the Vedic system is not quite like that. But still the chastity of a lady is prescribed. And what's happening here is that there's extenuating circumstances. So normally, if she just, let us say, run away with Soma, Tara had run away with Soma, just because she just wanted to enjoy illicit sex life, there would have been a different punishment. I mean, let me give you an example. Let's take the story of Ahalya. Everyone's heard of Ahalya? Ahalya was a famous, she was a very attractive lady, and she was married to Gotama Rishi. And being married to Gotama Rishi, took care of her nicely. Of course, they were living in the forest. But Indra, he became attracted to her. And in order to associate with her, he took the form of Gotama Rishi, and he did that. Well, nice fight. He took the form of Gotama Rishi while Gotama Rishi was taking his bath in the river. So, and then he went and he said to Ahalya, hi, you know. And then he had a relationship with Ahalya. But actually, Ahalya had some desire. She actually wanted to enjoy with Indra. So her punishment was when her husband came back and found that Indra just stepped out, Indra looked exactly like him, which is quite shocking. Like if you go to your house and you find someone going out of your house who looks just like you, that's quite shocking, isn't it? I can imagine if I went to my home, opened the door, and then I walked out. Yeah, I probably want to go to see a psychiatrist. Anyway, so Then, of course, Gotama Rishi cursed Indra. Indra lost his masculinity for some time. That's the story of the Bhagavatam. And he basically got so angry with his wife for being unchaste that she was punished. There's two versions of the story. One version is she became a rock. And the other version is she became disincarnate. And the Valmiki Ramayana actually says she became disincarnate. Disincarnate basically means... Carnate means like flesh. Incarnate means to take the flesh or to have a body, like incarnation. And disincarnate means to not have a body, to lose your body. So she became disincarnate in the sense she became a subtle living entity. That's what the Valmiki Ramayana says. I know that the general story you hear from the Tulsidas Ramayana and also from Hindu culture is that actually she became a rock, but she didn't become a rock. And so for many, many years, she had to remain like that, disincarnate, until Lord Ram came. That was her tapasya, repentance. And just like we talk about, you know, repentance, or the word for that, of course, in Sanskrit is prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means repentance. So that was her repentance, that she had to remain like that. And eventually, of course, Lord Ram comes to the ashram of Gotama Rishi, and Lord Ram gives association to her, and she comes, she becomes incarnate again. And then she goes to join her husband after getting purified because of the repentance. That's a heavy repentance, having to remain a ghost for many, 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 many years. Of course, we understand in Krishna consciousness, we don't have to undergo repentance if we do something. Of course, not that we should do something. But still, you know, if something happens accidentally, you happen to smoke a cigarette or something like that. Anyway, whatever. Or go to the pizza store and buy a pizza or something. But if accidentally you do something, then you don't have to undergo some prayaschitta. Of course, that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, after the whole description of the hellish punishments is given by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned, Tasmat Sankaryatanam Vishnur Janam Angalim Angasam Mahatama Pikaripya Vijayakantika Nishkutam. The best way of atonement, the best solution, the best problem solving any situation is what? Sankirtanam Vishnu Janam Angasam. Is the chanting of the Lord's holy names. I mean, we're in the Hare Krishna movement, but still, oftentimes we forget that the chanting is the most important thing we do. And so, you know, if your mind slips, just chant. Don't have to sleep on a bed of nails. You don't have to become disincarnate. So anyway, so those are the various punishments. So let's talk a little bit more about chastity. Because this is the subject matter here. Of course, Prabhupada also talks about this subject matter of chastity, not only in relationship between the husband and the wife, but also in relationship between the disciple and spiritual master in the fourth canto, part four, of course, the fourth canto. Nowadays, of course, they publish it in like two volumes or one volume or whatever, but originally it was part four. In the fourth canto, in the story of Paranjana, and who later becomes Mayaya, Mayadraja, and her husband has actually passed away, and she's lamenting about the passing away of her husband, and Prabhupada uses that particular episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam to illustrate the relationship between the spiritual master and disciple. Of course, he is actually quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who elaborates on this too. And you see, Prabhupada's purports are very much in line with the purports, commentaries of the previous acharyas, because I sometimes read the comments of the previous acharyas and I see how much faithful Prabhupada is to the previous acharyas' comments. I mean, sometimes Prabhupada will give some modern example in his purports, which is perfectly all right, but in general, it's very much the same thing as the previous acharyas. He sort of compiles and makes concise the commentaries of the previous acharyas. So Prabhupada comments in these particular purports about the relationship between spiritual master and disciple. I mean, one particular comment that always struck me was that when the spiritual master leaves the planet, the disciple should be ready to leave the planet with the spiritual master, unless the disciple is ready to carry out the mission of the spiritual master. That's really, I remember that struck me, of course, particularly right after Srila Prabhupada left the planet, and that's one of the impetuses for my taking sannyas. It's just like a declaration. I am going to serve Prabhupada without any other thing, any other interest, of course. Hopefully, one day I will achieve that particular status. I'm not saying I've achieved the status. So, and then, oops, what happened here? This internet is not working. So anyway, So there's other things the Prabhupada said, that if one serves the mission of the spiritual master after the spiritual master leaves, then the super soul appears before one. So, you know, have this whole description of chastity in relationship with guru and disciple. So, but the traditional descriptions of chastity have to do with husband and wife. Generally, that are the descriptions of chastity, and I wanted to tell some of these stories that illustrate this point. Of course, one of the, actually two stories of my favorite, which is the Savitri and Satyavan and Nal and Damayanti. sure you've heard these stories before, but they're very interesting stories. Some of you have not heard these stories. So once upon a time, there was a king named Ashwapati. Ashwapati, Ashwa means horse, and Pati means like the owner or the one controller. Anyway, so he prayed to Brahma for his son. And as he was praying to Brahma for his son, Savitri gave him a blessing for a daughter. He actually wanted a son. But anyway, you'll see later on his desire is fulfilled. So he named his daughter Savitri, and she was so beautiful that nobody wanted to marry her. That's pretty good, isn't it? Can you imagine? Lady's so beautiful. I want to marry her. Why? Chanakya Pandit says that your beautiful wife is an enemy at home. Why? For various reasons. One reason is that everyone else is looking at her. You know, you have to just like keep her in a palanquin all the time. Like Prabhupada said, even when his mother went out, his mother would go out in a palanquin carried by four men. Pretty good, isn't it? So, of course, we cannot imitate Bengali culture like 125 years ago. So anyway, so she was so beautiful, no one wanted to marry her. And so her father said, you basically, you know, I guess they advertised a Swayamvara and nobody came. So his father said, you gotta look for your own. So she went out with all the king's horses and all the king's men to look for a husband. And she returned after a year. And at that particular juncture, Narada Muni was with her father. And Narada inquired, what, have you found someone? And she replied, yes, I found someone to marry, and his name is Satyavan. Narada Muni said, that's a bad idea. And he said, actually he has all good qualities, this Satyavan. You know, he's perfect, he's compatible, he's handsome, he's faithful, all these other good qualities he had. But there's one good, bad quality he had, was that he was going to die in a year. So, I mean, very few ladies are going to want to marry a man who will die in a year. Of course, sometimes people do that. I actually read in the news, there was one lady, she was so much in love with her husband, and he was dying, and they had their marriage in the hospital. He was on his deathbed. So, I mean, sometimes you find this great dedication and great love, even today in Kali Yuga. It's very rare, actually. So anyway, so what happened is that this Satyavan, she decided, I'm still going to get married. I'm just dedicated. I'm going to marry him. I don't care what you say, Narada Muni. I'm going to marry him. So, as far as Satyavan was concerned, he was the son of a king named Dyumatsena, a king who was blind. And the king was kicked out by his prime minister, because the king was blind. You can't really be a good king if you're blind. And so she got married. She served her husband in the forest with her husband's father at the same time, King Dyumatsena, who was kicked out. For 1 year, and she gave up all, this is another sign of chastity, she gave up all of her fine ornaments. And you see also in Sita Devi's case, when Sita Devi went to the forest, she actually didn't dress in all of her fine ornaments and everything like that. She was wearing clothes made of tree bark. Not exactly. She didn't exactly put on tree bark. I mean, that would have been kind of weird. But they have tree bark, and they can take like little threads from the tree bark and sew them or stitch them into clothes. So she would clean. The reason for that is they're very itchy. And for a lot of austerity, I don't know if you've ever worn tree bark clothes, but it's very bad. Even when I was young, my mother didn't dress me in tree bark, but she dressed me in wool, which would it's like anything, and I hated it. So anyway, so she gave it. She If Sitadev is wearing tree bark and she gave up all of her jewelry. Of course, at one particular juncture, they were visiting one of the sages and his wife, and the sage gave Sitadev a lot of jewelry, but she didn't want to wear it while they were in the forest, so poor Lakshman had to carry it around with him for the rest of their sojourn in the forest. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Savitri served her husband for 1 year, gave up the fine clothes and ornaments, and 3 days before the year was up, she began to perform austerities, you know, to save her husband. This is real dedication to chastity. She fasted, and on the actual day that he was supposed to die, because she knew the actual day he was supposed to die, she went to the forest with her husband, and this wasn't an ordinary occurrence. And during the time when she was in the forest with her husband had a heart attack, and he died with his head on her lap. And she was so dedicated, she could actually see Yamaraj come and take her husband's soul or subtle body, which accompanied the soul. And Yamaraj took his noose and it's described that the subtle body and the soul and whatever it was very, very small. And she was following Yamaraj. She was so dedicated, she could follow Yamaraj and see Yamaraj. And the whole discussion is, the whole description is, that Yamaraj first of all said, "Go back, lady." And she had already taken 7 steps with him. It's described, anyone you take 7 steps with, it establishes a sort of friendship or bond. And so she began to ask him questions. Or he asked her questions, sorry. There was a discussion back and forth. And he was very pleased with her answers and her questions. And each time he told her to go back, and each time he gave her, asked if she wanted a benediction, but you can't have your husband back. So finally, after a few discussions and benedictions, he said to her, "I'm very pleased with you. Ask whatever you want, but you can't have your husband back." And the first thing she asked for was, "I want my father-in-law to regain his eyes." Okay, so Yamaraj said, "Okay, you can do that." Second benediction, after some more discussion, was, "I want my father-in-law to regain his kingdom." Okay, you can have that. And then, "I want my father-in-law, my father, sorry, the actual father who wanted a son in the beginning, to have 100 sons. And Yamaraj said, "Okay, I can give that benediction." And then, finally, Yamaraj was getting so, disturbed by having this lady follow him all this distance. He said, "Come on, lady, you got to go back. I gave you already benedictions. All right, one more benediction." And she said, "All right, I just want 100 sons by my husband, Satchavan." And Yamaraj, without thinking about it, because he was already so frustrated dealing with this determined, chaste lady, he's thinking, "Oh my God, this is the first time I had to run into this business before. Can't someone take her away?" And so finally, he says, all right, you got that benediction. You got to leave now." And then she says, "Hey, Yamaraj, give me my husband back." And he says, "I told you you can't have your husband back." She says, "But you said I should have 100, could have 100 sons. I will have 100 sons by my husband, Satchavan. So you got to give him back." So this, it's a nice story. So in this way, she defeated Yamaraj. And Yamaraj was tricked, and Satchavan got a 400-year lifespan. They went back to the parents, all benedictions came true, and they lived happily ever after. Isn't that a nice story? And that's how powerful the chaste wife is. Of course, it's that typical story in the Markandeya Purana about Markandeya Rishi touching the husband of a chaste wife and cursing him to die before the rising of the sun the next day, and she was able to stop the rising of the sun the next day. So the chastity is important. I mean, even let's say, apart from wife-husband relationship, if one is chaste, the Krishna chaste, the spiritual master, one becomes very powerful. Like you see Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if I have time to tell the Nalanda Damayanta story, but anyway, you see Srila Prabhupada's power Of course, he's an interested in devotee coming from the spiritual world. But his chastity to his spiritual master was incomparable, was not excelled by any other disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura. I mean, if you have to look at things objectively, even from an external viewpoint, even in ignoring everything that Prabhupada did, you know, the empowered, able to turn hippies to happies, able to just like start a movement in 11 years and transform the world and get everybody and fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's predictions in spite of all of his godbrother's objections. Well, actually, one godbrother said to Prabhupada that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his name spread, he would have actually done it himself. Said that to Prabhupada. You can imagine that. And in Prabhupada's reply was, yes, he did want his name spread everywhere in the world. However, he left it for me. Yeah, there's a direct... I was listening to memories of Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually directly said that. He left it for me. In other words, he wanted to give Prabhupada the credit for doing it. So, I mean, if you look, apart from all those other, you know, millions and millions of evidence of Prabhupada's exalted position, if you look at just examine one thing, Prabhupada's chastity and dedication to his spiritual master, and willingness to follow the order of his spiritual master in spite of being old, I mean, then you can understand what chastity is. Many of the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur got that order to go to the Western world, and only Prabhupada actually did it on his own, not wanting or not getting any sort of help from anywhere else. Anyway, let's see if I can tell the story of Nalam Damayanti to end the class. I'll try to do it real quickly. Once upon a time, there was a king, Nal, of the Nishadas, who liked dice and horses. And there was also King Bhima, who had a daughter named Damayanti. And they both heard about each other because there was a swan who actually communicated or told them about each other. Damayanti was madly in love. She was so pretty, all the demigods wanted to come, especially Indra, Yama, Varuna, Agni, etc., to the Swayamvara. And they actually asked Nal to become the messenger of the demigods. But she was determined to marry Nal. But the demigods wanted to trick her to see her chastity. So what they did is three or four of them took the same form as Nal. So she was confronted with these like four or five different Nals there. And she looked and she prayed. And then she understood, Krishna gave her the intelligence that the one who was sweating was Nal. Because demigods don't sweat. Okay. And they had, they got married and they had a twin son and daughter, Indrasena and Indrasena. But Kali and Dwarpar, two like lower demigods, they became very angry and they wanted to disturb all their happiness. Dwarpar became dice and Kali looks for faults in Nal. And Nal had one fault one time, he didn't wash his feet after passing. And Kali influenced Pushkara, the brother of Nal, to play dice with Nal, and they lost everything except for his wife. He did not bet his wife. He left with his wife and one cloth, and they fasted for 3 nights. He tried to catch birds with a cloth. He had an extra piece of cloth. The birds took the cloth. He told his wife to go home. She refused. They shared his cloth. Damayanti woke up the next morning after Nal left because he was actually influenced still by Kali at this point. And a snake attacked her, a hunter saved her, but because of her chastity, she was able to kill the hunter with a curse. It's an amazing story. She wandered in separations from Nal. She joined a caravan eventually, and the caravan was attacked by elephants. They blamed her, kicked her out into the forest, and eventually the brahmanas took her to the capital of Chedi, where she had to become a hairdresser, just like Draupadi did. It's called the Savendri. And Nal, in the meantime, saved a Naga from a fire. The Naga bit him, turned him ugly, and he gave him a cloth where he could become handsome again. Then Nal went to a Yoja and became the instructor in horsemanship to the king in Ayodhya. The king's name was King Rituparna. So Damayanti, in the meantime, went home. She was returned home. And she wanted to find out who Nal or where Nal was. So she sent brahmanas out everywhere chanting different mantras, love songs that Nal, between her and Nal. And so they went to the city where Ayodhya, where King Rituparna was, and this Nal, who at this particular point had the body of a low-class man, his name was Vahuka, he responded. So basically, Damayanti wanted to bring Nal back. We only have 2 minutes. So the way she did that is she announced the Swayamvara. She said, my husband is not coming back, so I announced the Swayamvara. And then when Nal heard about this, he took the king Rituparna with him to where Damayanti was, and in the way they had some exchange, and he got a knowledge of gambling at that particular point. Kali came out of his body, because Kali had previously been in his body, and sought shelter from him. And it's described that whoever hears this story becomes free from fear of Kali. So then he arrives back where Damayanti is, and they see that Vahuka is actually Nal. Vayu announces the chastity of Damayanti, and they return to the city, his original city, and he defeats his brother, who defeated him in dice, and he forgives his brother, and they live happily ever after. That's actually a longer story than that, and I didn't have time to tell the whole story. But there's many stories of chastity. You know, the Sati Shiva story, where Shiva is insulted by Sati's father, and Sati commits suicide as a result of that. Just because Daksha, her father, and that's her father, insulted her husband. So this is... Anyway, these are many stories of chastity, dedication, loyalty. There's different words you can use for the same principle. And this is a very important principle all of us need to imbibe, study, and practice. Thank you very much. All glorious to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.